Ag, we've been pretty heavily involved with agricultural sessions just this week as well as previously. Michael, Lisa, and Angela went to the Farm Bureau session in Monterey on Monday, I guess it was Monterey, and didn't just attend. They were asked to participate on a breakout panel having to do with ag order, and that went pretty well. With a good exchange of questions and answers, and seemingly understanding from the farmers who were in the room, and Michael can provide more information if you're interested in that. In the interest of time, I'll move on and say that next door over here yesterday, Jill North and I. Jill works has worked and stayed in touch on the food safety issue, and she's been our representative on the network of agencies that put together the forum over here. So she was one of the people who actually put it together. And it was an all-day forum on food safety. I attended that as well. And it was promising because everyone was in favor of co-management, and that's the idea of managing the food safety issue along with habitat and practices that are put in for water quality control and for habitat protection and that sort of a thing. I thought it was pretty promising. I thought there'd be more pushback from farmers, more animosity and that sort of thing. It wasn't necessarily a totally representative cross-section of farmers, but nevertheless very promising. And again, we can provide more information on that. I'll move on if you don't have questions. Okay. So for the budget, I will go through this very quickly, but I just wanted to let you know where we are at the moment. So in getting to the moment, first to go back just for reference and say that 07 and 08, we had this staffing level. These are number of people that we were authorized. And then for comparison, we were cut because of the economic downturn to this level. And these reductions are required. They're called salary savings, but they're reductions that we're required to have. This is the adopted budget, which included reductions, increased reductions as far as the salary savings, basically doubled. And so we're taken down to 59.6, roughly, staff. And then what I put in here is a slide that the last column over there shows the effect of the current furloughs. And as I explained in the write-up, we actually have different staff on different schedules as far as furloughs go. But actually the majority of our staff have 3 furlough days a month, and that's 3 non-paid days a month. And that's actually about a 14% decrease in pay. But what I did here was average what the effect is for everybody, because not everybody's on that schedule. So it turns out to be 8% on a region-wide basis. And so that's taken into account here with this figure. And so you can see we went from this figure just 2.5 years ago to this figure that's shown in this graph. And it's fairly significant. And I'm not here to whine about that. I think what I want to point out is that this is reality. It is going to get worse, because we're actually in the red in that we haven't provided back to the state board this number of cut positions. Currently we're closer to this level, I guess, in our organization as far as the number of people we have on board. So we owe the state board. So this is going to continue to go down. But what that means is it just means we need to continue to focus on priorities. I'll skip to that for a second here and point out that we've been doing that for a couple of years. We tried to be ahead of the curve pre-furloughs, and we prioritized with various scenarios of furloughs what we're going to be doing to respond to those cuts. We've continued to do that. We're going through that exercise again. It's not just an exercise, it's reality to deal with the cuts that we have and to try to be as efficient as we can, and sometimes that means more streamlining efforts. An example that I put in here down at the bottom of the slide is the new notice of intent for signing up for the agricultural order. We rolled that out just a few weeks ago, and it's worked really well. It's a web-based report instead of the paper, handwritten things that we were getting for the previous 6 years. And we have received over 400 applicants in just the first few weeks. And to show how this streamlines, by it being web-based, it's backed up by a database. The data goes directly into the database. And the reason for this push, you might recall from Kirk Schmidt being here and saying there are big problems with the database and them being able to bill for the cooperative monitoring program. For the first deadline that we had, for those who had to update in order for his database to be valid, once we reached that deadline, we were able to upload that data to his organization within 2 days. So, I mean, it's an example of streamlining in a really great project that we've implemented. We've got another deadline now for everybody else who's supposed to update their information the end of January, I believe it is. So as far as our being in the hole, we are actually being carried by the rest of the organization. So our target for the whole Water Board organization is 10% reduction in budget. That's that salary savings thing. And here you can see the trends statewide. We're well over that now, and the last figures were 13.2%. Vacancy rate, that translates into dollar savings, of course. So we're doing fairly well. It's not perfect because we're out of balance in different parts of the organization. We have a hiring freeze, and while there are some economic indicators statewide that are up now, the general fund is very down, as you've seen in the paper, $25 billion deficit projected. And what happens with California is that even with an economic recovery, there's a lag with state revenues. So the general fund will probably be in bad shape for a couple years, and Fran was mentioning that this morning. So we have to keep realigning our staff because as we lose people, we can't replace them. Carol is leaving. We cannot replace her. Burton left, remember, middle of the year, and so we decreased our technical units. So we went from 7 technical units to the 6 units that you've seen here. It's an extra load for the supervisors. It's an extra load for the section managers and on up the line, but that's what we have to do. We've redistributed the work. At the same time, try to figure out, okay, what's going to fall off the table? What are the lowest priority items? Same thing with Carol leaving. This isn't highlighted very well, but she's leaving, and so basically there's no replacement for her. One of the things that she's been great about in the last few months, I guess it's been, is since this is known that we can't replace her and the work is going to have to be distributed among different people, she has been training other staff pretty constantly, having them go through the exercises of the different things that she does so that we'll have as smooth a transition as possible. And I really appreciate you continuing to do that. She didn't just say, see ya, you know. And I've got Michael highlighted here because he's got some extra jobs, especially associated with board meetings. I didn't highlight myself, but I'm going to have extra jobs too as a result of this. But it's reality. We're going to have other people who are going to be leaving through attrition that we can't replace, and we'll have to keep doing that. I've got numbers here. If you're interested in looking at those, I'll bet you're not, but they are available if you'd like them. Any questions?
Yes. So what is it that staff is not going to be doing because of the reprioritization going on? I mean, so there must be some things that you've just deemed to be really low threat, not that important. We're just going to get to it when we can or not at all. That's my question.
Well, I can't rattle off the list to you, but one of you asked about inspections earlier in the enforcement report, and while you know, we're still doing some inspections. As Harvey said, some of those end up in violations, they end up in the enforcement report. But we have, with less staff, one of the things we looked at is the fact that for inspections, you've got a lot of travel time in our region, 300 miles long. You know, it's a 6-hour round trip to get to the northern part of our region. And so those are pretty costly in terms of staff time. So we've cut back, try to be strategic about it in terms of which programs, But we've cut back on inspections, and I think probably most, if not all, of the programs.
All the programs have gone through prioritization criteria, and some more than others, but all of them to some degree. And in each program, we're identifying the essentially high-risk, medium-risk, low-risk cases, and we're not working on the lower-risk cases. We're just focusing on the highest risk. And it's all about prioritization. The more resources we lose, the more prioritization we do, and the more we focus on the very top priority items.
I take it there's no programs that you've just kind of written off in their entirety as being not that important. All programs exist. You've just gone into each one and tried to ferret out aspects of those programs that you could kind of put on the back burner.
Yes.
And we've got other constraints, of course. We don't have ultimate flexibility in terms of that priority setting.
Yeah.
We get funds from all different sources. And so, for example, we could say, well, DOD programs, they have other oversight in some cases with DTSC, Department of Toxic Substances Control, sometimes EPA. So we could just say, well, we're not going to work on any of those sites that have other oversight. We could say the same thing about landfills, where they have oversight from local enforcement agency. But we can't do that because we get funding for those things, and we have a certain minimum level of performance that we have to demonstrate with work plans and then how we do with those work plans. So it does boil down to trying to figure out the priorities within those programs. At the same time, we try to look across, especially when we have something like someone leaving, a technical person like Burton. We don't just say, well, we're not going to do as much of his work. We have to look across the whole program and say, what are the lowest priority items within all of the programs and make adjustments. And it's not easy, because to do that perfectly, you'd be changing people constantly, you know. But it is a matter of setting priorities. And in this little triangle here, I have low-risk site closures here, and they're actually kind of a anomaly, but it demonstrates the different tensions that we have in that, by the very nature of low-risk site closures, they should be low priority, right? They're low risk. And yet they kind of have their own priority because there's this push to get them off the books. And we realize if we get them off the books, we'll actually have more time to work on the higher-risk sites. So we have to spend time on some of the lowest priority cases and bring them to you and hopefully get them closed. So there are a lot of dynamics there. It's kind of a continual battle, and it'll get worse. You know, we'll have to continue doing that probably for the next couple of years.
Hey, thank you.
Alrighty. I think that was it.
Okay. Should we break? Should we end our meeting and go to lunch?
Happy holidays, everybody.
End our meeting. Yeah. So we're going to end our meeting.
Steve.
Yes. Mr. Shimmick?
Comment on the executive.
Okay.
So I just want to bring your heads back to a little bit of this wetland issue and stuff. I want to suggest that there's also additional partners. So in other words, as you think about all these facets and how to fund all this, and I'm not suggesting myself, although we would be willing to put some money where in things like this. But also, you have additional dischargers. In the case of Monterey County, Monterey County Water Resources Agency could be incentivized to participate because they are a discharger in and of themselves, not covered by the ag waiver. Because they're a discharger, they might be looking for solutions of how to either reduce or eliminate their discharge. So my point being to you that there's probably not only the facets that you're looking at, but there's maybe a whole nother suite of partners. That's it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. Thanks, everybody.
All right, so let's adjourn our meeting at 1:18 p.m.
New record for you, Mr.